This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tea Clinic. One visit can change your life. Men's Tea Clinic offers a variety of men's wellness programs to help you meet your goals and keep you as strong as you've ever been. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEA today or visit menstclinic.com. That's menstclinic.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Here's the 0-1. And that ball is hit out into right center field. Blade going back to his left. He dives, can't get it. It is beyond his reach. It goes all the way to the wall. Garcia has scored. Berger has scored. Also coming around is Nick Ahmed. And so Higashioka dumps the bases with a three-run double, and the Rangers lead it 15-2.
Oh, what a glorious sixth inning it was.
Yes, it is glorious.
8 runs is what the Texas Rangers were able to put up, 15-2. It was DeGromination as he goes 6 innings of shutout ball, 7 Ks, in a very efficient, I believe just 65 pitches for him. Jake Berger was 2-for-3, a double, a walk, gets hit by a pitch, had an RBI, 3 total runs. Smitty, 3-for-4 with a walk, a couple of RBIs, and a stolen base. 15-2, your Rangers getting the victory over the A's, and we've got a rubber match tonight. 7:05 first pitch, 6:30 pregame right here on your home of Texas Rangers baseball as they improve to 16-14 on the season.
And Simeon 3-for-4, maybe dropping him in the lineup was good for him.
Maybe
yeah. It was. That average creeping up. His OPS. It's almost up to 500.
Good.
Almost up to 500. Yes. 493.
Man.
If you just take the sixth inning last night, that tied the Rangers season high for runs scored in a game.
Oof.
8 runs was previously the most they'd scored. So if you just take, if you just take the middle innings, 4 through 6 last night, that would have been the highest they've scored all year.
Gotta love it.
No, you don't gotta love it. You gotta hate that.
You gotta love it for this game. We gotta love it for this game.
Gotta love it. Jacob DeGrom had 9 total runs of support in 5 starts. And then you end up getting 15.
Well, that's par for his career.
That is true. He's a guy that has not had a lot of run support. But, my gosh, he was vintage DeGrom last night. It was absolutely wonderful. Rangers offense getting 18 hits. That's a season high, 9 walks as well. So they were seeing the ball well. The plate discipline was there. Hopefully they can carry this over and it's not just a one-off.
This is from Kennedy Landry. Like you just said, in his 5 starts, he had 27 pitches, 27 innings. He had the 9 total runs. So that's 12th lowest in the American League if he had qualified for enough innings, right? He doesn't qualify. Wow. But since 2018, his run support average is 4.20.
Nice.
That's the fifth.
Nice.
It's a nice. That's fifth lowest in the sport. Fifth lowest.
It's brutal.
So he's been backed by 2 or fewer runs in nearly half of the starts of his career. In 110 of 223, so 49%, he has been backed by 2 or fewer runs of support. That's insane.
Man, y'all mentioned, though, him being vintage DeGrom last night. Yep. That's 100%. That's the first time all year I felt like, oh, that's Jacob DeGrom.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, he's pitched well in other outings, but like that was the first time watching him last night that I was like, that's the guy that we signed. That's the guy that we saw for the first month of the 23 season.
Yeah.
And so that was encouraging to me last night to think, okay, maybe we're just about a month into the year and this is where he's finally going to be ramped up and we're going to start seeing him, ratchet up that velocity a little bit.
Yeah, and you called it in the opening segment in terms of the fastball. That four-seam fastball, the velocity, he was averaging a little over 97 miles per hour. That's the hardest he's thrown it all year long. That was working for him, mixing in the slider as well and the curve just a little bit. But 7 Ks, and if that one had been close, RJ, as you mentioned, I mean, this is one where he probably could have gone 9 innings and shut out.
I mean, at the least, he would have gotten through 8.
Yeah.
And, you know, you may get close to, you know, he would have been at probably about 90, 95 at that point. But yeah, when the moment they scored the 8 runs, they let him finish that next inning. They didn't need it.
No,
they didn't. They took him out. They didn't even need to.
No,
they took him out. So he had pitched the 6th, and it was what, a 4-0 game at that point. They could have easily let him continue, but the moment they scored all those runs, there's no point now. Let's throw Dane Dunning out there and have him throw his cute little two seamers, and they look like changeups compared to DeGrom throwing 99.
Do you think a pitcher ever wants to be described their stuff as cute?
I mean, Tiger Woods had those cute little stingers that he won 15 majors with, so.
That's cute.
Phil Mickelson used to talk about how he wanted to hit cute little cuts in the fairway, so. There's that side of it, too. So,
shout out to Kyle Higashioka. He got the G-bag bump. He was our Rangers player guest yesterday.
Only starter to not score.
Man, but he had the 3 ribbies, so we'll take that. But, yeah, that's a good problem to have right there. That's incredible what the lineup was able to do.
Yeah, when 8 of the 9 guys
and you're the only
cross
one that
home plate.
Go ahead and cross. Yeah, it's like, all right, whatever. What happened to Jordan Hudson?
Well, this is getting...
What happened to Bill Belichick?
This is getting difficult here, man.
For those that don't know, Jordan Hudson is Bill Belichick's girlfriend.
Bill Belichick's girlfriend. And his friends are really like starting to try to get him away from her. So according to, this is Page Six, his friends are talking to him about her, but they're being very gentle about it because they know how deep in he is. She saw an opening and she took it. And they're saying that this is alarming. She's a runaway train. She is a control freak. She has been the one that's basically, she's the puppet master. She's Geppetto. She's Geppetto right now, and Bill is like saying, I'm including Jordan on this email, you know, so she can keep up with our posts. So every email that he sends, he writes that I'm including Jordan on this email.
Yeah, I mean, you do that with Sarah. You tell us, you're like, guys, make sure you're copying Sarah on all show communications.
It's all it's calendar invites. If there's a calendar invite, send it to her.
Well, that makes sense, right?
Yeah, yeah. That's
easy to forget.
Yeah, I got you there.
But according to TMZ, she was so off the rails during that CBS interview that aired this past week. She stormed out of the room. She delayed shooting for 30 minutes. We're told outside of that baffling moment that made the final edit, there were numerous other instances of Hudson butting in. Even when the coach was answering questions about football, she would stop and correct him. She's treating him like we would treat my dad when he had dementia. Like, we would just, like, if he's trying to order something at a restaurant, you know, he would get like completely like off topic, and I'm like, he'll have the chicken fried steak. Just move on to the next.
Just butt in and do it for him.
So she said she's getting ready to take Bill's keys.
She's getting ready to take the keys away. No one from his publishing company, UNC, or any other rep was with him during the interview. At one point, she got so heated, she stood up, walked out, demanded Bill to follow. It's unclear. They say it's unclear. According to TMZ, it's unclear if he agreed, but they delayed the entire interview for about a half an hour.
This is she definitely seems like a control freak. And we played that audio yesterday. She was not. She's got, like, she's humorless, it feels like. She's just shutting everything down. But he's in a trance with her, dude.
He's in a trance with her. And now the worst part is that what you saw was just the only portion they could actually air. Everything else they had to scrap. There was supposed to be a second interview lined up.
Really?
And Jordan said, we're not doing another one. This is a one and done.
So is Bill Belichick not the poster child for the guy who wants all the control?
Yes.
That's what he desires most. It's like, I want to be in control. I want all this power. And he's willing to give it up for her.
Yeah.
He's so locked in.
I've said it before. I said it to my son. I said, watch out, dude. That is undefeated.
Oh, yeah.
It is never lost.
That's why it's the game.
To a man. It's undefeated.
That's why you have the game. She's a 10, but blah, blah, blah. And then you list a flaw. So I've actually got, I was thinking about this. I was like, what are the things that I think RJ, Zach, and Peyton would least look for in a as a trait in a partner that would cause them to potentially walk away from a 10.
Oh.
So I've got Jordan Hudson hypothetical for each of you, okay?
Okay.
All right.
So this is like we're setting up the punt team here. I can't get over this.
Yeah, exactly. All right, so Chop, yours. She's a 10, but once a month when you're out, she utters the words, "My man will beat your ass. Go ahead and try." Once a month, you're getting volunteered for fights.
Fight?
She's volunteering you for fights. You can see if you can try and walk past it, but she is actively trying to get you into fights.
Oh, I could talk my way out of any fight.
So you can deal with this then?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
all right. I think he's full of it.
I would if I had to actually. If there was no talking myself out of it.
I mean, the number of times it happens, you're eventually going to get in one.
Right. But
yes.
If the option was to not be able to talk my way out of it, then I wouldn't do it. I'm not going to fight. I'm 45 years old.
Just go full Colby Sapp and disrobe. Nah. Nobody wants to fight the naked guy.
That's right.
Yeah, yes. That's tremendous advice.
Zach, she's a 10, but she tells you Sundays are for family and you need to stop watching football.
Yeah, that's a deal breaker. It's the job.
So you would say, no, I'm not doing
it. Yeah, unless she just... I mean, you got to understand what I'm doing for a living, honey.
I think there was an easier one with Zach.
What is the biggest fact we know about Peyton in his relationships? He's kind of a helicopter boyfriend.
He's
a little
definitely
jealous.
A helicopter boyfriend.
A little jealous. All right.
Yeah.
Peyton, she's a 10, but she likes egging on guys who hit on her because she likes watching your reaction.
Oh, yeah. Get rid of her.
To the streets. Oh. To the streets.
She's
with
for
you.
The streets. She's for the streets.
Oh, no. What would be yours, Bobby?
I don't know. Probably she's a 10, but like she wants me to dress up and go to events every so often. That's probably.
I think you could deal with that.
No, that to me is on a level of what Peyton's dealing with her trying to egg on guys hitting
you
on
you can't
her.
Put on a collared shirt.
I will say, the college
golf
shirt.
What you wore to that wedding, your brother's wedding, a golf shirt, mm-hmm, jeans, mm-hmm. And your chucks.
Yeah,
that's fine.
Yeah, I mean, if that's I didn't even like doing that.
Right, but now if you're saying she wants you to get into a tux.
Yeah.
Okay, look, nobody wants to wear a tux. Although I think you do look dapper with them.
Yeah, yeah,
padded leather shoes.
Look. That's why Will wears the same one over and over again. Will Chambers, and we see that photo getting circulated all the time.
Always. Who? How many opera events does this guy go to?
I know, yeah. Right?
I wonder how many tuxes he owns.
And why do you need to wear a tux to the opera?
How many?
I don't know.
How many like second grade beauty pageants is he emceeing? All right, girls, come to the stage. Now, that's the vibe Will gets
that
off more than the opera
the
theater.
Oh no!
Is that one? No, honestly, Peyton's out of all these, Peyton's would be the one that would probably get to me the most.
Yeah,
I would not. I would not like the egging on of like, oh yeah, I'm going to invite this because I like watching him get worked up. I would not like.
I don't think I could deal with an Eagles fan.
But at least you'd be able to watch football still.
I don't know that I've ever like dated somebody who liked the rival team of mine.
It's a tough one.
I don't know that I ever did that.
What would be like the one team that would really annoy you the most? Is like a Tennessee rival.
It would be probably. No, I think it would be Georgia.
Georgia.
Georgia. Georgia's the worst. Like. Nobody likes Georgia because Georgia is like – Georgia's always had the attitude that they are Bama. And, like, they become Bama of late. But, like, for the last half century, they were nothing. You know, prior to Kirby getting there, they were just like a team that
David
always –
David Pollack.
They always disappointed.
Oh, David Pollack.
Yeah.
Did you hear Book said Tyler Booker, Neyland Stadium? Best road environment he ever went to.
Oh, really?
He said he will never get over the fact that that was the one stadium he couldn't win at.
Neyland.
It's a great spot. It really is. We need a road trip. When Texas plays there,
yeah,
we need to make a road trip.
I'd love to see a Texas victory.
Make it happen. All right, we are. You'd love to see a Texas victory. We're hanging out. Sean and RJ Firehouse Tour stop number 2. We are in Anna, 305 South Powell Parkway. We're giving away a Whataburger breakfast. We got Firehouse Tour hats while supplies last. I think we only got two more. Only two more hats. So if you're in the area, come on by 305 South Powell Parkway. Hang out with us. Thank you so much to Whataburger, Frazier Roofs and Gutters, and the Firehouse Movers. Time for the Expressway. Nick Harris, Fort Worth Star-Telegram. He's going to join us, and we will finally do some chopping it up. That's coming up next here on The Fan.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40.
period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sophie. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Amazing time out here in Anna, Firehouse stop number two. Nick Harris, former Star Telegram draft show brethren,
what's up,
joining
fellas?
Us here. Sean and RJ, Zach Wolchuk in for Sean. Of course, we got the greatness that is Bobby Belt.
Yes.
How are you, Nick? Well, it still ended up being a long drive for you.
You know, I have beef with this place. Not the fire station.
Oh, I was going to say.
Yeah, that would
yeah
be
that's fight. They're big.
Yeah, I don't want to pick that fight. My hometown of Chapel Hill a couple of years ago got beat by Anna in the state championship 26 to nothing. So this was basically like asking me to come to Busch Stadium after the 2011 World Series.
I mean, you can't finish any better than that. They finished on top because they went to 5A right
We could have finished better
No, I'm talking about Anna. Anna went to 5A after that.
Yeah,
they ended their entire 4A career with that.
Some cheaters.
Before we jump into all the interview stuff, I got to give some shout-outs here. We've had Joe from Anna come out here, Jeff and Hal, and then we just said hi to Jennifer, Nick, and their little man Rhett was up here, all from Anna. So Anna's showing out here. The whole general area is showing up here. Now, Zach, you mentioned that, because we're going to talk about Amari Cooper and some other things here with Nick Harris in just a second.
Yeah.
You mentioned that he's your draft show brethren, and Nick was the one
why are you giggling over there?
Who was first seen on camera a couple days ago when you had this wonderful moment.
Stop.
This wonderful moment while interviewing UCLA defensive tackle, New Dallas Cowboy, Jay Toia.
All right, Jay, so can we teach the entire defensive front the haka and make sure we do this every pregame?
I mean, I'm not a haka specialist. You know, that's more like Marin's. You know, I'm Tongan, so I'm not really a haka specialist. But right. I think we can try.
Well, we appreciate you taking some time. All right, Jay Toia joining us here on the.
Don't put the camera on.
What are we doing? If your brother's a rugby player in New England,
the double down.
Are you not?
It doesn't mean he knows how to do it.
I get okay. Well, if you're
down,
we need your brother.
I dare you to walk up to him.
I will. I'll do it in Oxnard.
It's break down and start to.
Is that racist?
Not at all. You assure he does it before every game.
That's racist, bro.
How?
That's racist, bro.
I'm Tongan, bro.
They all the same. They all do that little dance. Hey, Jay, why don't you do that little dance y'all do?
I gotta step out. I'm serious.
What's that thing y'all do? The haka? Do that haka.
That was not good.
The thing is, I stepped out and I went into the studio and they were all in the floor in there. And I was like, I can't be in here either.
That was great.
It could have been worse, though.
Yeah.
It could have been worse because Zach actually left his notes around the draft show studio.
Oh, no.
So, like, he had questions prepped for so many guys that didn't end up in Dallas.
He
didn't.
Did he?
Yeah, I'm just going to make him read some of them since I took them. This is one of the questions he had ready for Tetero and McMillan.
For
if they would have picked him.
Mahalo, Ted.
Oh, no.
I was curious to know if those coconut bras they wear in Hawaii are real.
It just seems a little uncomfortable to ask that question. Jihad Campbell ended up with the Philadelphia Eagles.
Hey, careful,
but
Zach.
That's what he was going to ask to Dallas.
Jihad Campbell, congrats on being drafted. I guess just to explain your name for us.
Mason Taylor, tight end that Zach was a big fan of, LSU.
Did love him, my number two tight end. Mason, is it true Jason Whitlock ruined PB&J sandwiches for you?
Wow. Had to. That peanut butter
that
skin.
Peanut butter. Oh, man.
Isaac Kessler, really impressive wide receiver from Arkansas.
Very. Isaac, how often do people set you on fire?
Tesla. It's a big issue these days. Landon Jackson.
Wow, I get you there.
Oh, no.
Landon, what? These are Zach's questions. Don't get worked up. Landon Jackson, the defensive end from Arkansas.
Throw it on me. Where the hell is your hair, bro? You got that Jada Pinkett disease or what?
Wait a second.
What? Zach. What the hell? That's an offensive thing to like.
Is that?
To prep for that, well, to write that question.
I feel like Jada Pinkett was fair game.
Yeah.
I think so.
It's just
after her entanglement.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And then this was the last, the very first pick of the fourth round. Chimiri Dike.
Okay. Are you sure? Are you sure you're saying your last name right?
So those, I'm glad it just ended up with Jay Toye and the Hawkins. Yeah. That could have been really uncomfortable.
Yep, thank God. Thank God for that.
Jeez. Amari Cooper.
So dangerous.
Let's talk about Amari Cooper here with Nick Harris.
Very dangerous. Feels so good
Nick,
on me, jokes.
This is something where I think a lot of people wondered, have there been too many hurt feelings for Amari Cooper to reconcile with this team? Is that even going to be possible? But, you know, you've said that this is somebody that is absolutely on the radar for the Cowboys, as they still haven't filled that wide receiver two hole.
Yeah, absolutely. Going into the fifth round on day three, well, going into the first round, we could start there. Tedrell McMillan was the top target going into the night, being like, hey, if he's there at 12, it's an easy turn-in for us. We don't need to wait for the phone to ring for a trade back. You know, we're going to make this happen. Obviously, he was not there. He goes to the Carolina Panthers. What was that at pick number 8? And they pick Booker, so they go into day 2, don't get a receiver. Go into day 3, they have an opportunity in the 5th round to pick a receiver in that instance. Instead, they go with Shamar James. And after that, receiver was off the board for the rest of the draft. And so, you know, when I put in the article on Monday that Amari Cooper has had building interest, coming out of the draft, it's like, okay, we need to look around to see who are available as far as trade targets. They had already been doing work ahead of the draft in that sense. And then obviously the free agent market. Amari Cooper was a name that was getting tossed around before the draft. But since the draft, I say building team interest because they don't have a receiver coming out of the draft. And so there's plenty of options on the table. You know, whether it's a George Pickens or a Rashad Bateman, we talked about those as far as trade targets. There's trade targets around the league. And I think that's what Dallas is really trying to sort through at the moment to try to find that established number two. But if they can't, I think Amari Cooper is their safe fallback option. I say fallback because they still feel confident that Amari Cooper can be a number two, that he can be a productive wide receiver in the league. And if you're looking at Amari Cooper's market, it's not that strong. So I feel like they could get it at a pretty good price, and they can move forward with it.
So does the rest of the league think he could be a number two still?
Yeah, that's a good question. And that's I'm not confident in that just based on what happened last year with him. Going back to 2023, obviously he had a pretty strong season with Cleveland, but you wonder if maybe he just never had his feet right in Cleveland with the quarterback change and all the drama going on there. And then he gets to Buffalo. Keon Coleman starts to emerge. Khalil Shakir begins to emerge almost as soon as he gets there. He dealt with an injury as soon as he got there, so it took him a while to get on the field. And then all of a sudden he has a free agent market. So it's not really like he had any time to really get his feet rolling, but you have to take that for what it is, especially at the wide receiver position with the age that he is. It's certainly a factor in this whole ordeal too.
What are the chances that we roll into training camp and they're just going to roll with the receivers that they have, and they say Jonathan Mingo is going to get the shot at number two?
Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen. At least as far as the people that are pushing behind the doors for this to get addressed, for them to get a number two wide receiver. My question is, does it happen before OTAs? Does it happen before mandatory minicamp in early June? OTAs start on May 19th. Obviously, the comp pick formula has been worked out as of Monday at 4 p.m., so they can work toward finding a free agent if they do want to pull the trigger on an Amari Cooper or a Keenan Allen or one of these other names that are available. But I think they're doing their due diligence in the trade market right now, and they feel selectively aggressive in that trade market right now. I'll tell you that there have been names that they have done research on, they've done homework on. Obviously, nothing has just come to fruition yet.
On the McMillan front, he was their top guy, but this is something we were discussing actually yesterday on the draft show, the wrap-up. You weren't able to make it. I know Zach was banned by Football Ops from being in the building at the same time as Jay Toye.
Yeah.
But with the Tet McMillan pick, I think a lot of people, we haven't discussed a whole lot this angle of McMillan. I don't think was so much higher than Booker actually on their board. Like I think they had Booker graded similarly. It's just the need was there with the receiver
that would
have just made it such a slam dunk. But for people who are maybe upset with the Booker pick, like, and really wanted McMillan, this is a player they got that the Cowboys graded similarly to McMillan.
Booker is a dude, and you could see it from that introductory press conference he had on Friday. And if you haven't had the opportunity to go listen to that or watch that, I mean, it's an impressive young man. You understand how they graded him so high character-wise, and then you see him on the field too, and you understand why they graded him so high from a play perspective. I mean, they're expecting him to come in and start day one at right guard, and there's nothing to think that he can't do that.
Yeah, it's amazing. If you didn't like the Tyler Booker pick, just listen to him speak, and he'll win you over. I wanted to throw a trade name out there for you guys that maybe we haven't talked about as much.
It's got
to
be for a fourth rounder, though. That's all we
okay.
do.
Okay, well, you know, the way that I would do this, it might be actually you send a player to this team just to kind of get the contracts ready to go. And there's nothing of substance to this at all.
You're trying to trade Jay Toya already?
No. JT's my guy. I don't want him going anywhere. Jeez. This would be
my guy.
DJ,
we'll see what he thinks
my
about
guy.
That.
That's, we're going to become best friends. Don't worry about it. You know, learn this dance, and it's going to be awesome. DJ Moore in Chicago. They just drafted Luther Burden. They've got Roma Dunze. DJ Moore is a name that they've kind of thrown out there as possibly a guy that could be on the market. I believe the Cowboys had him graded pretty highly in that 2018 class when they ended up taking Leighton Vander Esch. Now, that is a contract. You are going to be picking up a big salary.
Yeah.
Corner is thin. But Trayvon Diggs, in my opinion, is a player that if he were healthy, I think they already would have tried, if not moved him. Is that possibly maybe you talk about a player for player? Cowboys probably have to throw in a little bit extra because you have an injured guy there that we're not sure when he's officially going to get back. But maybe it's not even, hey, Diggs is involved in this at all. But out of the options, I know George Pickens has been thrown out there. Some have talked about Cortland Sutton. I know the return we talked about was foolish on that. But DJ Moore kind of is the most intriguing name for me if they were to try and trade for somebody.
Yeah, he has the $27.5 million APY average per year. That would be really tough on the Cowboys' books this year. Now, you're throwing the proposition at me of trading Diggs in that sense. I don't see Chicago taking that just because they don't need Diggs, and especially they don't need an injured guy to take from DJ Moore.
What about Guyton? Yeah, I mean, if you want to get really crazy, Guyton.
If you're Chicago, are you doing that in your right mind?
I mean, if Chicago needs offensive line help and they say it's a
year. I don't
think
they need it that bad.
Well, okay, so I'm gonna defend Tyler Guyton a little bit.
I'm not pooping on Tyler Guyton.
No,
just,
I know.
This is DJ Moore.
No, we're talking about a really high-quality receiver.
Guyton and a fourth or Guyton and a third or something like that.
Yeah, I
was looking at Diggs and a four.
Yeah, I'd rather just give up a two at that point.
Me too, actually.
Yeah, I would rather just give up a two for an established receiver.
Would a two get it done?
And a guy that will be here 4 or 5 years, and then you don't have to worry about it.
Would a two get that done, though?
DJ Moore?
Yeah.
That would be tough. I mean, the contract number, maybe, because you could be like, hey, you're going to have to pay this guy. You're going to pay that guy. You know, DJ Moore, if you want to offload those books. But you look at their receiving corps last year, it was DJ Moore leading the way. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I don't know if Chicago's ready to part with him.
Why have the Cowboys found themselves, do you think, in this position so much over the last 20 years where it's they need to go make a big trade for – I mean, just go back to the start of the 2000s, the trade that ruined Brian Broaddus' potential to rebuild the Cowboys through the draft. You trade Joey Galloway 2 first-round picks. Then it was Roy Williams for first-rounders. Then they were willing to pony up the money for Amari Cooper, send in a first-rounder. Mm-hmm. They've always been willing to pay that tax on the receiver position. But why have they, in these intervals of about 8 years, it seems like, because here we are at another one, why have they been stuck in this position of, like, we are in a jam and we need to trade big capital for a receiver?
Yeah, I don't know if I have an answer for you there. I think maybe there's part of it where it's like, okay, maybe they're not getting ahead on these needs as quickly as they should. I mean, we could be looking at the corner position right now, right? And you see on the horizon, hey, Deron Bland is going to be out of his contract coming out of next season. Trayvon Diggs, is he going to be fully healthy? I mean, that would be something that, hey, look around. If you weren't discussing a wide receiver situation right now, you could look around and be like, hey, let's get ahead on this corner situation. I think they're just kind of always playing behind the eight ball in some instances there. But, you know, you mentioned the Amari Cooper ordeal, and that was in 2018. And at the very least, Amari Cooper is already factoring into their thought process here because they waited until midseason to do that. They're trying to get ahead of this before the training camp even starts so that they have that established core ready to go and they can roll into 2025 with whoever the Robin is to see these Batman.
A big complaint, too, was they just haven't taken a lot of wide receivers high in the draft. I mean, it's been Dez and CeeDee Lamb. But otherwise, what other first-round wide receivers have they really targeted, or even second-round receivers?
And, I mean, they've always really liked – guys. Like, they liked McMillan this year. They weren't able to get him. They loved Drake London a couple years ago. He wasn't able to get to him. In fact, to that point where people say, I really wish they would have drafted a wide receiver somewhere in the first three rounds. Is it just a case where they found themselves in basically a purgatory position on the draft board where it's like, yeah, if McMillan gets to 12, we're taking McMillan. If Burden gets to 44, we're taking Burden. If, I don't know, Besh. If Besh gets to 76, we're taking Besh. Like, is it a case just where the Cowboys just had bad luck with the way the board fell, being in their draft position?
Yeah, you talk about reaching and picking a wide receiver at any point for the Cowboys other than that fifth round spot, which I think Nick Eatman said yesterday, Keandre Lambert-Smith was the target there in the back end of the fifth round out of Auburn. That one would have been fun to add to this offense, but other than that selection, you would have been reaching at that position anywhere else. And you know, we've given credit to the scouting department and to this front office for sticking to their board during this draft. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's why they have such a strong class, but they still have to address this receiver spot, and the guys they have on the team right now are not going to be that.
Nick Harris, former Star Telegram, with us here, Sean and RJ, live in Anna, Firehouse Stop number 2.
305 South Powell Parkway. If you want to come out, still get some Whataburger and some giveaways. The question, rookie minicamp Friday, Saturday of this week, is there anything that is you've got an intrigue for, whether it be in any of the undrafted free agents, or to see, do you think potentially the Cowboys are seeing, all right, how does this group of players play out before next week we decide to do anything on the front of going and getting depth at receiver or corner or anywhere else?
Yeah, rookie minicamp is fascinating for me for the undrafted guys is because I'm looking at a couple already going into the weekend. Elijah Clark out of Syracuse, they gave him the third most guaranteed money of any undrafted free agent in the NFL. That almost certainly tells you, hey, he's got an inside track at getting a 53-man spot on the roster after training camp. Brevin Spanford had the same situation last year. Hunter Lipke had it the year before that, and both of those guys made the 53. So that's me kind of theorizing in my head. It's like, okay, then what are they thinking at the safety position? Yeah. Or is he a versatile guy?
And just to add on to that, they love Clark.
Yeah, and
they
Clark,
really like Clark.
Steven Jones said in his presser, or they said in the day three presser after it was all said and done, that they signed or they agreed to terms at that point with their highest-rated undrafted free agent ever, and it was Elijah Clark. So I would have to assume, this is me just assuming, that he had probably a fifth on their board, maybe a late fourth. I mean, I would have to assume, like, the highest ever.
Jackson
I know
Carman,
Romo was a fifth.
Jackson Carman was a fourth, okay. I think, for them. Okay. So that would be wild.
Wow.
Or
yeah,
Stephen's misremembering.
That would be wild. It had been 3 days by that point. His voice was hoarse on day one.
I mean, probably forget some things. 35 years of draft boards, too. I mean, that's a lot.
Yeah, there's also some big business marketing going on there, too. I'm looking at Elijah Clark, and then I'm looking at Bruce Harmon out of Stephen F. Austin coming into this corner situation. You know, does he have any shot at being a depth corner on this roster? They're dealing with a lot of injuries at that position, not only Trayvon Diggs, but Josh Butler they're trying to get back. But not a lot of confidence in Andrew Booth. So it's where does the depth of that corner spot go? That's a guy I'm looking at to potentially make some noise.
When it comes to the name Isaiah Bond, I think that is the name that we've gotten a ton of questions on. G-Bag, the Texas coming in now, Twitter as well. You know about
Texas receiver.
Yeah, Texas wide receiver that went undrafted.
Right.
Was supposed to be their number one, and then obviously Matthew Golden kind of ended up taking that role as the season went on. You covered him as a recruit coming out of high school. Obviously know him very, very well. What is it with Isaiah Bond right now? Why the league seems to be like, we're going to stay away.
Yeah, awaiting the finality of the situation that he's dealing with the sexual assault allegation. And I think one thing to note where as it pertains to the Cowboys is this allegation happened in the city of Frisco. The Cowboys have an inside track at getting the details of this case more than any other team in the league. So if it hadn't happened by now for the Cowboys, I don't think it's going to. And on top of that, even before this, Isaiah Bond had some concerns coming into the draft process. You know, there are some things, you know, just from his time at Texas and Alabama that teams are like, I think we're good. And, you know, the type of guy that Brian Schottenheimer has said and has proven to be adding to this team over the course of the last few months, I don't know if Bond fits that mold.
All right, about to get into chopping it up, but Peyton, it is time to give something away.
All right, Tolos, that's right. Right now, call our number 10 at 877-881-1053 wins a four-pack of tickets to see the Arlington Renegades when they take on the Michigan Panthers Saturday, May 10th at Choctaw Stadium in Arlington. That's call number 10 at 877-881-1053.
Thank you very much, Pepe. Caller number 10, you are very, very lucky hanging out with Nick Harris here in Anna. Firehouse Tour number 2, come on by. Say what's up to us.
Could you speak up a little bit? My eardrums have been blown out by Peyton.
Holy cow, Peyton.
He was loud. He was loud.
Our ears are gone.
Boom. It was there. It was out there. 305 South Powell Parkway and at Texas. We got our buddy Nick Harris, Fort Worth Star-Telegram, hanging out. Is it time for a little chopping it up?
All right, here we go, fellas. Let's have a little fun today.
What the heck happened in Spain?
Spain? I mean, that's a broad question.
It's a very broad question. Yeah. Not this week. It's not. They lost. They had a blackout. They lost power like for like 24, 48 hours.
Oh.
Almost 50 million people that live in Spain. Almost 50 million people. They were almost all without power. ATM machines, traffic lights, phone, trains.
They have a freeze?
They did not have a freeze.
That's what happened here.
They didn't have a freeze.
The wind turbines, they froze.
Just thank God it's not in July. But they said this is not a mischievous thing. They've ruled out sabotage.
Okay.
But there were some strange deaths that occurred. Oh. They think from like carbon monoxide within all this that they're investigating, but they don't know what caused this blackout. But having
just been over to Europe.
Everything runs on electricity everywhere, but even the train system, like they have those, like they're all basically cable cars. Even the high speed trains, they're not gas. They've got like these cable things up top. You can't. I mean, people were just on the side. Like their train just stopped, and they just got off the train. They had to walk. Imagine just walking. It's a 200 mile walk.
It's like Peyton in Boston. He didn't take the train. He had to take the expensive Uber, and then he had to walk everywhere.
He did not take it. They're still searching for exactly what happened.
I feel like you should be able to run down pretty quickly. Why is the power out?
You would think.
Like, but I've never heard of a thing.
I mean, it took us like 2 days to figure that out, right?
We knew why. They just couldn't fix it. Like, I've never heard the only time I can remember anything happening, like, on a large scale, where they're just like, yeah, we don't know, for several days, was, remember when somebody hacked the tornado sirens in Dallas?
Oh, damn.
I don't remember that.
It was about 6 years ago. It was at like 11 o'clock at night. Somebody hacked all the tornado sirens in Dallas.
That's my kind of prank.
And
right
set
there.
Them off. You could.
That's
you,
a hell of a prank.
That's a hell of a prank.
You could hear them everywhere. And they never found out who did it. But it took them like 3 days to figure out. And people were freaking out because it was, like, it's odd enough. If it was raining, I think people would be cool. It was just weird because it was at 11 o'clock at night, clear skies and tornado sirens going off all around Dallas. People were like, is this an air raid? What the hell's happening here? And it turned out it was somebody hacked into it. But they figured it out eventually. I don't know how Spain doesn't know. Transformer. Oh, we got to flip the breaker there in wherever.
You remember in Hawaii like 8 years ago, they got the alert in the middle of like a Sunday afternoon
that
North Korea was bombing
alert.
Them. Mm-hmm. And they were freaking out.
Yeah, the
freaking
text
out.
That got accidentally sent.
It's weird though. Like when I was in, I think we were in Switzerland, and they had this really ominous like horn going off. And I was like, oh, my God, this is an air raid. Like, because
everybody shelter.
It sounded like, and I'm like, oh, God, what the hell is this? I don't know what it was. I still couldn't figure it because, you know, like that.
Isn't it supposed to be, like, the safest place in the world for
war? It was
war?
The farts from the cheese that they had.
That's probably what it was.
Isn't it supposed to be there, like, cheesy. Neutral?
It's it is neutral.
They're supposed to be the most neutral. So you're
so
fine.
So it's true.
They're paranoid, though. Every house has to have a bunker.
Really?
There has to be a bunker. There's space accounted for every person, plus 100,000 tourists per day, and food.
Wow.
It's all accounted for. Like, and they have like every year they have to test the bunker system out. So we're walking.
That's the day to go.
That's the day to go. But we're walking through the city. We're getting a tour of the city, and they said, you know, what do you notice about this little hill here? And it's just it's a hill with pavement. And I'm like, I don't know. There should be grass here or something like that. And they're like, look at they show on the side. There's like these two lines, and they said we can open this up, drive vehicles in here, and this is for like storage of whatever. And then this has got room for X amount of people. There's food and water in there.
That's so
they are paranoid about getting taken over.
There's a person on Twitter who's a big Cowboys fan who runs in all the Cowboys social media circles. His name is Christopher Waitjen, and he lives in Alaska. And he talked about, because of their proximity to Russia, how many different people own, like, bomb shelters that are built into the side of mountains there in Alaska. And so in Alaska, like, he sent pictures to me on Twitter one time of like, they basically have created these shelters inside the mountain so that if anything ever happens, they can, like, scurry off to the side of the mountain and get in there and make sure they're okay.
That's pretty nuts.
That's wild.
We have football stadiums.
Yeah, we're really like
I saw Melissa driving.
Yeah, yeah, football stadiums.
Everyone gathered the stadium.
I love them.
That's what we have. We were there.
That's confidence. Okay,
that is confidence. That is confidence. When we were in Italy, the last day we were in Italy, it was the Pope's funeral, and we were in Rome, and they're like, "All right, just stay away." Like, we got off the train that morning, and the police were everywhere. This was like the safest Rome was ever going to be. There was nothing that was going to happen that day. But right behind our hotel, we start to walk. We were just going to start touring. We're like, we were staying away from the Vatican. So we're like, we're on the other side of Rome. But right behind our hotel was the other church. And you could hear the funeral on the speakers everywhere you went. Oh, wow. Like, they were just playing it on the speakers. But there was all these people, this one church right behind our hotel. And that's where he was going to be buried. I was like, oh, great. So now we
you can't escape.
We couldn't escape. No. We couldn't escape. We were just walking. But you could hear his funeral everywhere you went. And we got to Italy the day he died, and bells were ringing the entire country's bells were ringing the entire time.
That's the what you're talking about, it being as safe as possible. You remember in New Orleans, and you were worried about Amanda and Kristen walking off together. You're like, hey, I mean, should you guys be walking around New Orleans?
Well, it's I get it.
But the only reason why we were like kind of okay with this, because A, it's like, well, it's Super Bowl week, and then B, it was a month after what had happened on New Year's in New Orleans, and so they had like
that's true
National Guard posted up. I was like, there's never been a safer time to just walk around New Orleans, because there's help every single block.
I've basically been in New Orleans probably 25 to 30 times. That is strangest it's ever been, because it was National Guard in the French Quarter, just waiting on somebody to get into some stuff.
Oh, and Kristen said she pulled up, their Uber had pulled up to drop them off at a barricade. The guy, I guess, who was driving the Uber got too close to the barricade, and, like, the National Guard, like, drew on him and told him to stop.
Really?
Yeah.
Nice.
Dude. You ever had one pulled up?
I'd be like, inch closer, see what happens.
By National Guard or by somebody?
By somebody.
Yeah.
Stepped
oh, no.
me.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
I mean, not like a high-powered one, but
it's chopping it up here at 105, the fan. Surprise to me, the Kentucky Derby is this weekend.
Yeah, it kind of snuck up on us, didn't it?
It does every year, because they don't promote it.
I don't watch ESPN the 8. I don't watch the Ocho. Well,
the Ocho.
I think it's on NBC, right? It's on
obscure sports.
You'll start to see it when NBC is on, like, the NBA, and NBC is, like, every weekend. You'll start to see more promotion for it, I'm sure. But they have come out with the prices for their drinks this year. A little bit high. Mint Julep is $22.
$22?
$22. And this is not one of those big gulp things. We're talking, like, the size of your coffee cup right there.
It's ridiculous.
$22. Here's the worst part. All this bourbon is made 5 miles away. It's not like they have to transport this thing in here.
Yeah, like what are the? There's no import costs or anything. What's the problem here?
There's no tariffs.
Yeah, that's
true.
There's no tariffs.
There's no tariffs. You got wine for $18, Chardonnay, a Pinot, a bottle of water is $5, a Red Bull is $6, a domestic beer is $13. At the Kentucky Derby.
Wait, what is that?
That is a no. That is a no go for me, man.
Why have your senses been so offended by prices lately? I felt like that was half of your notes from your trip.
Well, it's just so,
like,
cheap.
Holy cow! This is like, I've never known you to be the one who's just like, well, sticker shock.
$35 for a pizza, I think, is a bit excessive.
It's a lot.
It's extreme.
I think that's a little excessive. $9, and then, you know, on the flip side, when you go to Italy, $9 for a pizza, I think, is pretty good.
Yeah, that's great.
That's a great deal.
They have all the ingredients there.
They don't need to
take notes, Kentucky.
Absolutely.
Yeah, Kentucky shouldn't be charging extra to get some whiskey or some bourbon.
The Kentucky Derby found the one thing that the Masters doesn't have to take away the title of Boomer Coachella. And I think this year they're really hammering it. It's like $22 mint julep. We're going to have a horse named Journalism win. He's the favorite. He's 3-1, by the way. Go ahead. His name is Journalism.
Journalism.
Nope.
Wow.
There's a joke in there. But I don't want to go all into that.
We don't?
No, I don't want
to hold back on that.
I wouldn't bet on
He's not going to run in a straight line. Is that what it is?
I wouldn't bet on the legacy media winning in 2025.
No, I don't want to. There's a joke in there. But I want to jinx the horse.
Yeah.
No, don't.
I don't want to jinx the horse.
You never want to jinx the horse.
I don't want to jinx the horse.
Bad things happen.
Yeah. Chop it up here at 105 through the fan. Police say they are searching for a man who allegedly hid plastic Easter eggs across Lufkin, Texas.
Okay.
And inside these Easter eggs.
Boy, this is Lufkin as hell, what you're about to say.
Inside these Easter eggs were clues on how to find them. Inside these Easter eggs were The old marijuana.
The weedster egg hunt.
The weedster egg hunt.
I like this.
The weedster egg hunt.
And then this guy was like putting out clues on Facebook and social media.
Yep.
Where you could go find these
awesome.
Eggs.
This guy awesome. Should get a job.
It's a funny bit. I think it's actually incredible.
What's going on in East Texas? You're Mr. East Texas.
A lot of things.
East Texas.
A lot of things.
I feel like that is the most dogs. East Texas story I've ever heard in my life.
Yeah, his name's like Fez Bryant.
Fez. This is next level drug dealing.
Oh, yeah.
Give him your product for free. Let him get let him get a taste.
Yeah.
Let him see how many seeds are in it and whatnot. But, then move
got
on.
Got that, Reggie.
Yeah, that's what you
want. Just keep them wanting more.
Just keep them wanting more. This is next level. You got to think of. Yeah, you got to.
You're talking about these Easter eggs like it's like the yellow tops of the wire or something. Like it's not like get a taste. And,
you gotta get a taste, man.
Say my name.
You gotta get a taste of this stuff. This is awesome. But you put some codes on Facebook and. Little scavenger hunt happens.
It's a fun bit.
It's really
one nug though. That's probably where they got mad. They were like, well, "Where's the rest?" I'm narking on this guy. What are we doing? Can you fit this in a? I don't know if I can say that on the air.
Rolling a fatty.
Yeah, there we go.
I saw this. This happened a couple days ago. What is going on with people? Another airplane story for you, Bobby. Now we've seen the naked lady. At DFW Airport, about a month or two
or
ago, just stripped down. Now the same thing happened on a flight from it was from New York to Chicago. Oh, sorry, Philadelphia to Chicago.
Oh, well.
Southwest Airlines girl got naked on the plane and then went to the bathroom in her seat.
Oh, God.
And it wasn't number one.
No.
Oh. I mean, it may just be that she's used to doing that in Philadelphia.
Thankfully, they're like bonded leather seats on Southwest, so it's an easy cleanup.
Oh, yeah.
Thankfully. That's what the flight attendant was thinking. Well, thank God for these bonded leather seats.
That's what I'm going with. I mean, otherwise. It was a cloth seat. I mean, you got to replace the whole seat there.
I don't have to worry about the schmear.
You imagine if it was velvet?
Yeah.
Velvet? What kind of a seat is velvet?
Oh, no.
Yeah, where are you flying?
Yeah,
flying on that Jerry plane.
My God.
Tyler Booker came back from Green Bay.
But they had to land. And imagine like deplaning and you just got to walk by this aisle seat poop. Right there.
I mean, I wouldn't want to imagine that.
And then they had to take the plane out of service.
What's worse to sit next to, the feces or the corpse?
Oh, the dead person on the plane? Yeah. No, it did. It happened about a month ago.
Yeah.
I can't remember where it was flying from.
Did they know it right away?
They had it. They just like put a little blanket over the dead person.
It's not hard to figure out that they're dead.
I've seen Weekend at Bernie's. They were able to keep that going a while.
A quick pulse check will do it.
Yeah, but I mean, are you just like going? Are you sitting down and go like, hey, how you going? Where are you from?
No, but when you start changing color and your back, your head's back,
that's
and
yeah.
your mouth's
we've
gaped,
got a reason to reach out.
You've got a reason to reach out there. I think I would rather. Ooh. I'd rather the naked poop lady.
Yeah, because you can kind of can you kind of scoot the poo away?
Scoot the poo.
Just like put
scoot
it in the
poo away.
Like don't let
work like that.
Death
you don't just
scoot. Like scoot it in the
death
in the aisle.
Just contagious though. Like I mean,
what?
Death isn't contagious. Like they're
well, it's mean, that's not contagious.
Death isn't
you,
contagious. Well, you don't know what they died from.
It's not like I'm gonna catch death. Or like whatever. Like I'm just sitting there. Like it'd be weird.
There's
but like the other, I couldn't breathe. I wouldn't be able to inhale. Like on the flight.
Morbid question.
No one's
but
dying.
But the dead body poops itself, doesn't it?
No, it cannot do the haka.
Well,
wow.
That was question number two.
Wow.
Anything's possible.
I don't know.
I
don't know. I really don't. I don't know.
Doctors, 877.
It does release. Like, when you die, you release. So
maybe you're sitting next to the corpse and the poop.
Could be both.
Could be a double whammy.
Just
a disgusting.
What the hell is this chopping it up?
I don't know.
I'm still,
there we go. There's chopping it up.
Thank you so much. Nick, any final thoughts? You going to hang around or are you going to get out of here?
I am headed to Houston for Game 5, Warriors Rockets. Trying to see Jimmy Butler close it out tonight.
Butler.
Enjoy it. Hopefully that happens, man. It looks like they got a stranglehold on that series. Thank you so much, Nick Harris, Fort Worth Star-Telegram, joining us here as we're hanging out in Anna Firehouse Tour number 2 on the 2025 Shot on RJ Firehouse Tour, 305 South Powell Parkway. We got some Whataburger breakfast left. It looks like all the hats are gone. So Shot on RJ Firehouse Tour hats. But we do have some other giveaways. Thank you so much to Whataburger, Frazier Roofs and Gutters, and Firehouse Movers. The Expressway, this portion was driven by Mercedes-Benz of Plano. Shout out to Mercedes-Benz. All right, let's go into hour number 3. Sean and RJ here live from Anna. Our team's wrestling power back from the players. That's next on 105.3 The Fam.